Welcome to the Walk On Podcast. Following Jesus is a journey, and this podcast helps you take your next step in your faith journey. Well, hey, Walk On friends, I'm here with another look at my new book, Trustfall: How the Fall of Man Reveals a God Worth Trusting. And I got to tell you, it's been so encouraging hearing feedback from some of you that have read the book. It continues to just be a humbling experience to think that people would take time to read it, and then to hear that so many of you have benefited from it and it has helped you shift your perspective of God and understand this story a little bit better. It's just been so encouraging for me to hear. If you haven't read it and you are interested in getting the book, you can find the book on Amazon or barnesandnoble.com if you just search for Trustfall and my name, Brent Faulkner. And also, for those that live in good old Kokomo, Indiana, Cross America is selling copies there. So you can go in, get one of their delicious drinks, and pick up a copy of the book. Today, in this episode, we're going to look at chapter 3 in the book. And after two chapters setting things up, talking about Genesis chapters 1 and 2 and kind of laying the groundwork, we are actually getting into the story of the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3. And so as you read through the creation stories, you're reading through the end of Genesis chapter 2, you see Adam and Eve, and God places them in the garden. And in the beginning of chapter 3, almost out of nowhere, this new character enters the picture. It's the serpent. And Genesis chapter 3 starts out with a question that the serpent asks. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" Now, in this chapter of the book, I really dig into this question that the serpent asks, because this is the starting point. This question and what happens with this question is the starting point to a path that leads to a breakdown of trust between humanity and God. And so I think it helps us to understand what all is at play in this question, because this isn't just a neutral question. Now, to understand the subtleties of this question, we have to remind ourselves of what we discovered about the garden in the first two chapters of Genesis. Remember, we talked about how many trees were in the garden, not just one, not just two. It says that there were many trees, and then God invites Adam to eat from them all, except for just one. And so, like we said, the garden was this picture of abundance, this orchard of trees that Adam and Eve were able to enjoy and help steward about the furthering of this creation. So with this picture of abundance in mind, notice what the serpent's question does. The serpent asks, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Now, that's not what God said, but the serpent, what he's doing with this question is shifting the focus from abundance to scarcity. And the deception of the serpent is what I call in the book perception deception. Now, the best way to help explain this concept is to illustrate it with a story that I share at the opening of chapter 3 in the book. When my boys were young, I'd let them have soda as a treat. They were always excited to drink the carbonated, caffeinated, high fructose corn syrup infused beverage. At their age, a full can was too much, so I would divide between the two of them. And it became a bit of a ritual. I would set two glasses on the table, and they'd get their faces as close to the glasses as they could. I'd crack open the can and start pouring it into one glass, and then the next. And with each pour, the soda would bubble and fizz. The anticipation on my boys' faces would grow. With utmost care, I would evenly divide the beverage, ensuring each boy got an even amount. Once the last drop came out of the can, the boys were free to enjoy their treat. Now, you might think this scenario would end with two happy boys enjoying their sodas. You'd be wrong. More often than not, as they'd reach for the glasses ready to drink, one of them would say, "He got more." With those three little words, the mood would instantly change. All enjoyment would cease as they examined the two glasses for any imperceptible difference. All the most sensitive scientific equipment cannot compare to the accuracy of a child's eye. And somehow, he noticed a difference. He concluded one glass had more, and then the kitchen table would then turn into a courtroom interrogation. Why did you give him more? He has more. It's not fair. I need more. I'll spare you the details of how the conversation typically devolved. It often ended in some of my less than stellar parenting moments. But something caused a perspective change for my son. Something got into his head and changed the way he interpreted the situation. Something caused him to focus on what he didn't have instead of what he did have. I call that something perception deception. Perception deception is a perspective shift that causes you to see abundance as scarcity and blessing as affliction. There are two parts to perception deception. First, there is something that shifts the focus from abundance to scarcity. My son had 6 ounces of delicious beverage in front of him, but instead of seeing a treat to enjoy, all he could focus on was the tiniest bit he had less. Secondly, what was intended as a blessing is then seen as an affliction. This drink was supposed to be a treat, a loving gift from his generous father. Instead, this became a perceived injustice, causing him to question the intent of his father. Why did you give him more? It was as if there was premeditated ill intent behind a half a drop less he received, and I still maintain that they were exactly the same. Perception deception is not just something little boys with soda experience. It's something we all experience. In fact, it's as old as the Garden of Eden. You know, what I find so interesting in this Garden of Eden story, even though it's thousands and thousands of years old, it is still so relevant, right? Because perception deception happens all the time today. It's something that you and I face, and it's a lie that we can be tempted to believe as it shifts our focus of reality. I mean, think about how many times do you focus on scarcity? Not enough. Not enough time, not enough money, not enough energy, not enough talent, or maybe you just think, I'm not enough. You know, living in perception deception causes us to be stuck in scarcity thinking, and this results in living with clenched fists, grasping for more, and then we begin to see other people as opponents or people that can take away what we have instead of seeing them as human beings and partners in this journey. In this perception deception, living in a scarcity mindset definitely does not produce joy or peace. How many times do you lose sight of God's blessing and you begin to see it as affliction? How many times have you wondered, man, why did God let that happen? Why did they get that, but I didn't? Nothing ever goes right in my life. Those are all signs of perception deception at play. Perception deception truly causes us to lose sight of reality. And we begin to see the world through these distorted lenses, and then that causes us to live out in ways that impact our relationship with God and with other people. And so this opening question of the serpent lays out this deception that creates a ripple effect in Adam and Eve's lives and eventually leads to a breakdown in trust. But it's something that you and I are tempted with today as well, to see the world in the reality of the garden and God's abundance and his provision and his goodness, or to let our perspective be shifted to see scarcity and affliction instead of the abundance and blessing of God. So how do we begin to shift our thinking in this? Well, I find Jesus' model in the Lord's Prayer captivating, particularly the line that he instructs us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And so that phrase, daily bread, calls back to the Old Testament story about manna. The Israelites, if you remember, had been freed from slavery in Egypt, and they were wandering through the desert. And even though God had just delivered them in this miraculous way, they were stuck in a scarcity mindset. They wanted to go back to slavery because at least in Egypt, they had lots of food. And so God provides for the Israelites with quail and manna, this substance that appeared on the ground each day that they would gather up and then make bread from it. And the profound reality of this desert time was a time that the Israelites began to learn that God provides every single day what they need. Every day, bread just for that day. And the story, if you remember, that if they gathered up more than they needed, then it would just rot and fall away. But God gave them exactly what they needed for each day, their daily bread. And so Jesus reminds us in the Lord's Prayer that there is enough, that there is daily bread, that God gives us what we need for this day. And then tomorrow, he will give us what we need for that day. And the day after, God will provide us exactly what we need for that day. And so this deception of the serpent begins to tug at our hearts, trying to damage our trust in God's goodness and provision. And so may you be reminded of the truth of the garden story, that there is goodness and there is blessing and there is abundance. And may you begin to trust in God's presence in your life and God's abundant blessing. And may you begin to see God's daily bread for you, that God gives you exactly what you need to get through today, and he will give you what you need to get through tomorrow. There is enough, and you are enough because God is with you. And so I invite you, as we wrap up our episode, I invite you into a time of just prayerful reflection. And so if you would, take a deep breath. And as you breathe in and breathe out, begin to focus on God's presence with you. Now I invite you to take your hands and clench them in a tight fist and hold it there with your fist clenched tight. And as you do, notice the strain in your hands. Notice the tension in your muscles. And this is how so many of us live our lives, as we live under the deception of the serpent, as we live focusing on scarcity and affliction. And we cling to what we have, and we live through life with this tense grasp, trying to hold on to what we think is owed to us. And with your hands clenched tight, just take a moment to ask God to bring to your mind ways that you might be seeing the world in scarcity. What ways might the lies of the serpent have deceived you, and it's causing havoc in the way that you live your life? Now I invite you to release your grip and open your hands. Feel the tension leave your hands and your arms as they relax. And with your hands open, ask God to help you see his abundance and his blessing and his provision. And take a moment to identify the daily bread moments, of the way that God has showed up to give you what you need in the moment to help you make it through. And may you live with the truth of the Garden of Eden, that there is enough, that God provides, that there is blessing and goodness and abundance if we choose to see it and if we choose to live in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks so much for listening to this episode. We're going to continue to journey through the rest of the book. We probably won't go chapter by chapter, but we'll lump some of the things together and take a look at some of the big ideas of the rest of the book. If you are interested in reading through this book, you can purchase it at Amazon or barnesandnoble.com. Or if you're in Kokomo, Indiana, you can go to Cross America and they are selling the books there. Thank you so much for listening.